Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with a special announcement. And as I give this announcement, I want to ask you a series of questions. Have you ever had to minister to someone who just lost a loved one? Have you ever found yourself helping saints work through some church conflict? Have you ever had to work with some youth as they dealt with their specific issues? How about have you known a married couple who were having some difficulties and they asked you to come and talk to them? Or maybe even there was a blended family that you had to minister to. Maybe you found yourself coming up a little short in the area of what to tell them, especially in reference to what the Bible says. Well, we have good news for you here at Bethany Baptist Church. We are having a biblical counseling conference. It's going to take place April 11th through April the 12th. The theme for our conference is help, hope, and healing for the hurting. The passage of scripture that we are using as a foundation is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61 and verse 3, which says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." That is to bring help, hope, and healing to the hurting. So if you attend this conference, you will be equipped from the scriptures to minister to those who are grieving, to minister to blended families, to minister to someone going through church conflict, to minister to a couple who is in conflict, and ministering to youth and their specific issues. To find out more about this biblical counseling conference, and let me say this, you don't have to be a counselor to come to the conference. This conference is for lay people. And so we want to encourage you as a lay person who finds themselves in the midst of helping those who are hurting. We want you to come and get equipped to do ministry as the Lord has called us to. For more information, you can call 412-246-4463. That's 412-246-4463. We look forward to seeing you at the conference. God bless you today as you listen to the broadcast.
Hello and welcome to the Anchor in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of part two of The Gift of Giving. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of part two of The Gift of Giving.
Satan is attacking the family in the issue of money, and you can be assured that if somebody in the church has this gift, that Satan is going to attack it. Well, how does he attack it? Well, he causes people that have this gift, once again, if they stay controlled by the Spirit, they're all right. But if they don't, then guess what? They're going to start getting a big head. Why? Well, you look what I'm giving. Look how much I gave. They get their bank statement. That's why, you know, some churches, you know, they put out there what the people give. They post it on the outside. And the people, you know, the person with this gift might look at it and say, "Hey, look, there goes my name right up there. It's right at the top." You know, why? Because they're letting Satan come in there and influence them. People with this gift, Satan will attack it. And if things are decided that are contrary to what they want, then they get upset. And you know what they start doing sometimes? Once again, now Satan, when the gift was under the control of the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit was saturating that gift and the Spirit was empowering that gift, man, you just gave and you gave with a heart of love. But now something happens and you didn't like the way that it went. What's the first thing that you start doing? Withholding your money. you're not ready to give anymore. Why? Because things are not going your way. Not because they're not going God's way, but because they're not going your way. And so Satan will jump all up on this gift and attack it in this way. And then this person can become critical and look at people. "Oh, look, man, I'm the only one giving. You know, I'm giving to, you know, look at that person over there. They're not giving anything." you know, let me go check their records. You know, they're not giving it. And so they begin to get critical of people who are not giving because Satan has jumped on their gift. And then Satan causes them to have the wrong motive for giving. Instead of giving to see the work of the Lord done, instead of giving to see God's kingdom grow, guess what they give for? They give to their little pet projects. Oh, he didn't say that, did he? He didn't say that. He didn't say that. Yes, I did. Be quiet, Pastor Glaze. You shouldn't have said that. They start giving to their little pet projects, all right? They're not giving to, you know, to be a blessing anymore, but they're giving because they got their own agenda. Why? Because Satan done jumped on this gift. Satan done attacked the gift, and what should be a blessing, you're letting him just take control of it. And then, you know, even if you think about, let me move on because I'm going to hit that later. Where can we use this gift at Bethany? Where can we use this gift at Bethany, all right? If you have the gift of giving, and once again, Sister Lydia, are you going to say anything about the gifts a little bit later? You going to tell them a little bit? Okay, so when I get done, Lydia's going to come up. She's going to talk a little bit about spiritual gifts. So we want everybody at Bethany to know your spiritual gift. We want everybody here to know your spiritual gift. And if you have the spiritual gift of giving, if you take the inventory and it finds out that you score high on giving, well, where can you serve at Bethany? Well, you can serve as a trustee, because if you got this gift, you know, you have a heart for handling money God's way, all right? You can serve on the finance committee, the county committee, the mission board. You know, in missions here, you know, we send over $40,000 a year on the mission field, all right? So we definitely need you there. All right, stewardship committee, we're getting ready to launch a stewardship campaign for our new building, and, you know, we may need some people to serve on that committee. Giving to members in need. Maybe you need to, you have a special sensitivity to give to those members who are in need, and then giving to special projects. So this is how this gift can be used at Bethany. As I close, which, you know, that might be 15 minutes before I'm done, but as I close, we see people with the gift of giving. What can we learn from people who have this gift? Because I believe that even though some people have the gift of giving, all of us should be involved in giving to some degree. I want you to look at three money mindsets. So the first thing that as believers that we got to have is that we got to have the right mindset. Now you'll notice on the overhead there, three money mindsets. What is the proper? See, once again, when I opened up, I prayed, and what did I pray? I said, Lord, I pray that you would change somebody's thinking, change somebody's opinion, change somebody's philosophy, and change somebody's heart. So what I'm working at now is maybe some of you are not in this mindset, and you need your thinking changed, all right? And there are three money mindsets. So I'm talking not only talking to adults, but I'm talking to the youth too, because you are blessed with money from time to time, and you need to have this mindset. The first one is what we say is the cardinal mindset. And what does that say? All of it is mine. All of it is mine. Remember the guy said, man, look what I got. Houses and I got crops and I got all this stuff. Let me tear down my barns and do what? Build greater barns. What was he saying? This is all mine. And you know what? A lot of people have that mindset. This is all mine. And if you got that as a believer, if you've got that mindset, that's the wrong mindset, okay? Because what does Psalm 42 say? Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So there's the cardinal money mindset that says all of it's mine. There's the churchy money mindset, and that says that 90% is mine. Well, I'm going to give God his 10, all right? But you know, the rest of it is mine. Well, that's the wrong idea, too. That's the wrong idea, too. Then there's the kingdom money mindset, which says what? All of it belongs to God. None of it is mine. That whatever I own belongs to God. So you know why it is when that we get upset? Oh, I'm getting ready to preach now. All right, I've been teaching. I've been teaching. But let me preach for 1 second. You know why people get upset when their washers break down? You know why people get upset when their cars break down? You know why people get upset when something goes wrong in their house? You know why? Let me tell you why. Because you got the first mindset. all this is mine. And if it breaks down, you're saying, man, my washing machine broke down. Man, my car broke down. Man, my house needs repaired. But if you got the second one, what do you say? This, God, your washing machine. Oh, somebody help me this morning. Somebody help me this morning. God, your washing machine broke down. God, your car broke down. God, we need to do repairs on your house. That's a whole different mind. Oh, somebody hear me. Somebody hear me this morning. That's a whole different mindset right there. That's a whole, you know what the people that study trends, you know what they call that? A paradigm shift. That's a paradigm shift, all right? Moving you from, you know, one place, and see, that's why I get all uptight. You know, I'll just be honest with you. You know, the first thing, and once again, you know, I had some stuff go wrong at my house, all right? And the first thing, once again, pray for Pastor Glay. I'm being honest. I'm being honest. I'm trying to get this kingdom money mindset, all right? I'm working on it. I would say that I'm 85% there. So y'all just pray for me the rest of the 15%. I had something going wrong. The first thing that I started to think, man, you know what? I don't have the money to get this done. Man, why did this happen to me? Okay, well, come on, Pastor Glaze. Sit down here, Pastor Glaze. Let me preach to you a minute. Which one of these mindsets do you have? Let me carnal money mindset. Like I said, I'm working on the kingdom now. Are you going to say, well, now don't y'all say, well, you know what, the pastor can't. I don't want anybody, if the pastor can't do it, then what hope is there for me? Look, man, I got up this morning, I put my shoe on one foot at a time, just like y'all, all right? You know, I'm still working with this thing. I'm still working with it, but that's my goal. My goal is to have a kingdom money mindset. I told you what my pastor said last week when his wife took, somebody had just given him a car, and his wife went out and got in an accident, totaled the car, and he said that I'm glad that God wanted me to have a wrecked car, not a wrecked wife, all right? What did he realize? He had a kingdom money mindset. He realized that car was God's, all right? So you got to get the right money mindset. All right. Then the next thing I want to say is that, you know, when you talk about giving, there's actually three kinds of givers. All right. And I'm going to ask, which one are you? See, once again, this will affect where you are in the kingdom. There's three kinds of givers. There's the flint, and that is to get anything out of it, you got to hammer it, and then you only get chips and sparks. All right. There's the flint, and then there's the sponge. To get anything out of it, you must squeeze it, and the more you use pressure, the more you get, all right? But then there's the honeycomb. God is looking for some honeycombs. You know, as we look at the person with the gift of giving, God is looking for some honeycombs. He's looking for people that will just overflow with sweetness. You know, it's just giving just flows out of your nature. Giving just flows out of your spirit. Once again, you might not have the gift of giving. There is a special gift that people have in the body to give, but all of us should be like this honeycomb. We should just overflow. We should just, you know, have that sense of, man, God has blessed me, and if I could be a blessing to somebody else, man, it just flows out of me. And I think sometimes, you know, because we might be the flint or the sponge, that we miss our blessing. We miss our blessing. God will give to you if God can get it through you. Next thing I want to say is that there are certain laws. There are certain laws. You know what? And you know this. And I started to illustrate this by bringing, and I preached this message right here before a long time ago when I first came to Bethany, and I brought an ear of corn to illustrate this. So what am I saying? Regardless of if you are a Christian or not, I just think that there are certain laws that have been built into nature. And how much more, as a Christian, is this true of us? Jesus said in Luke 6:38, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured unto you again." Four laws. And I'm going quick, because I haven't even got to the last point on my sheet there. And I'm not going to make this a part three, saints. All right. The law of implantation, and that is you must reap to sow. How many farmers do you know that sleep through the spring, don't put anything in the ground, and in the fall, go look and see what came up? Don't happen that way. There's the law of implantation, and that is you must sow in order to reap. There's a powerful verse in Ecclesiastes. We're not going to turn there, but some of you know it. It says, cast your bread upon the water, and after many days, it will come back to you. Well, what is that saying? It's saying that if you put your bread out there and you invest your bread, that you can anticipate that you have something out there and that something will come back. But if you don't cast any bread, then there's nothing that's going to come back. And it's the same way in the kingdom work. In order for you to sow, you must reap. Give and it shall be given unto you. Identification. You reap exactly what you sow. He says, give and what? It. Well, let me ask this question. What does it mean in the Greek? It means it, and that's all it means. Whatever it is, whatever it is that you sow, that's what you'll reap. If you sow corn, you're going to reap corn. You know the powerful concept? God, this is deep. Let me hit it real quick. God wanted spiritual sons and daughters. And what did he do? What did he do? He sowed his. He sowed his son. God wanted many sons and daughters. He sowed his son. And the Bible says that as many as received him, to them he gave he the power to become the sons of God. You reap whatever it is that you sow. You know, some of you, if you got children that are having a hard time in school, you know, maybe what you might want to do is just go sow tutoring in some other child's life. Give and it shall be given unto you. Once again, now I'm not one of these name it, claim it, blab it, grab it guys. All right, I don't think that we should bribe God, give the bribe. But I am saying this. I just have a tendency to believe that if you have a financial need and you are faithful in sowing in your finances, at some point God is going to bring that back to you. That's just a law not only of the kingdom, but that's the law of nature. Whatever it is that you sow, it'll come back to you. And then the law of intensification. You always reap more than you sow. Man, we hold on and we hoard little things. And God has this gigantic blessing waiting for us if we would just let go of this little thing that we're holding on to. This little peanut thing that we're holding on to. God said, let it go, man. Let it go. I got something greater for you. And so you always reap more than you sow. This is just a law of nature. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over. And then there is the law of imputation. And what is that? You reap in proportion to what you have sown. If you sow a little bit, you're going to reap a little bit. If you sow a lot, you're going to reap a lot. So the laws of the harvest. And as I conclude, all right, I got to be somewhere in 15 minutes to preach, so I got to conclude now. Somebody said, why don't you preach somewhere every week, man? We get. All right, well, let me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm through. Verse 6. But this I say unto you, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say unto you, he who soweth sparingly shall also sparingly reap also sparingly, and he who soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. giver. All right? And three of these points. First of all, our giving is to be profuse. And that is, he says, whoever sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. If you want a small blessing, sow small. If you want a big blessing, reap so big. So it's to be profuse. Our giving is to be purposeful. It says here in verse 7, every man as he purposed in his heart. This word purpose means to choose beforehand. It means that you think about it before you give it. That you just don't give it, but you think about it and you pray and you ask God how much it is that he wants you to give. Not only is giving to be profuse and purposeful, but giving is also to be proportionate. And that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't turn there. In verse 6, chapter 16 and verse 2, where God says that he gives to every man and he prospers each one, and that we are to give as we have prospered. As God has prospered you, you are to give according to how God has blessed you. So for some of us, we have not received a lot, and so God doesn't expect as much out of us. But for those that he has blessed a lot, then God expects a lot out of you. To whom much is given, much is required. Giving is to be positive. He says here, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity. You know, it's not, giving is not to be a negative thing. Now, we don't do it here, but I know some churches that when you announce the offering, people stand up and they start shouting. Why? Because they try to make it a positive thing. You know, if I'm coming and saying, ah, man, you know, I could have bought that high-def TV, man, and I'm giving my money to the church. Well, you know what? See, now, go on and give it, but you know, that's go on and give it. Go on and give it. I got to say that, you know, go on and give it. But, you know, it's just like the guy. You know, he went to church, and he gave in the offering, and he thought he was putting a penny in, and he had a $10 coin. And he put that in by mistake. And he got home, and he told his wife. He looked, he said, oh, man, he said, I meant to put that penny in. And I put that $10 gold piece in by mistake. He said, that's all right. You know, God is going to bless me for giving the $10. His wife said, you cheap miser. You gave with a penny heart. You gave with a penny heart. You didn't give with a $10 heart. So even though you put $10 in, God is only going to see that penny heart, all right? And so if you come giving grudgingly, you know, God is going to see that grudging heart, that penny heart, all right? And then the last thing is that we are to give passionately, to give passionately. He said God loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful comes from the Greek word hilarion. You know the word that we get from that? Hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. You know, he loves people that just want to give. You know, don't give until it hurts. Give until it feels good. You know, you remember when your mother told you to be home at a certain time, and you know, you knew you wasn't gonna make it on time. You said, "Ooh, we're gonna be in trouble. Oh, we're going to be in trouble. Oh, we're going to get it. And you was all nervous. And then, you know, you just out there, man, and you said, oh, man, we're a half hour late. Oh, man, we're 45 minutes late. And then, you know, you at some point you just got silly. Oh, man, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Oh, we're going to get it when we get home. You know, you got to the point where you done turned that sad heart into a happy heart, right? And so that's what God is saying here. You know, don't give until it hurts. Give until it feels good. You know, give until you know, just start laughing because you're giving. Just give because God is going to bless you. We looked at the gift of giving, and we said that not only do people have the gift of giving, but we have people that God has called as his people to give.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Join us next time for the first half of The Gift of Mercy. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, part two of The Gift of Giving, you can contact us here at Anchored in Jesus Radio Program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Gift of Giving or program number 080420. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request The Gift of Giving or program number 080420. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus Radio Program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus Radio Program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.